This is the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast. This podcast is designed to help teachers prepare to lead a Bible study group using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Each week, we review the Bible passage for that week's study. We examine some questions that teachers may face, and we give some teaching tips along the way. This spring, we are studying the second half of Genesis. I'm Amber Vaden, your host, and today I'm joined by Mike Livingston. If you've been listening to this podcast, I'm certain you've heard Mike. He has been a frequent guest. He is also an editor on our Explore the Bible team and just does a wonderful job with the personal study guide and the daily discipleship guide. So Mike, welcome.
Thank you, Amber. I'm glad to do this. This is one of the favorite things I get to do related to my job is this. So thanks.
I didn't know that. Well, That's nice to hear because I feel like you do just a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Today, we're looking at session 7. We will be discussing Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. So I'll give just a brief overview of what's happening in this passage, and then we will examine some questions after that that will help you as group leaders to be prepared to teach this lesson. Having gotten word that Esau was coming to meet him, Jacob spent the night taking his family and possessions in separate groups across the Jabbok tributary. Jacob was left alone, and he encountered a mysterious man during the night with whom he wrestled until daybreak. Realizing that Jacob would not be defeated, the man dislocated Jacob's hip, and still Jacob declared that he would not let him go until the man blessed him. The man changed Jacob's name to Israel, since he prevailed when struggling with both God and man. When he asked the man question why Jacob wanted to know his name, and then he blessed him. And that's when Jacob realized that he had been wrestling with God. Jacob renamed the location Peniel as a memorial to his encounter with God. And then as the sun rose, Jacob passed by Peniel limping because of his injured hip. And then we know in Genesis 32, Moses interjected that the Israelites refrained from eating the thigh muscle because of this specific encounter. Our summary statement for this whole session is this: God changes his people when they encounter him. Well, this is certainly an unusual encounter and could be a confusing one. So I'm thankful that we get to study it today. And I'm thankful that we get to kind of talk it out and help group leaders as they prepare to teach this lesson this week. Here's our first question. Jacob's meeting with Esau sets the context for this passage. So that's about to happen in chapter 33, and we are in chapter 32 now. So how might that upcoming event have affected Jacob's emotions and faith?
Yeah, so Jacob's not seen his brother Esau for 20 years here. The last time he saw Esau, it says back in chapter 27, it says Esau held a grudge against Jacob and said, "I will kill my brother." That was their last meeting. So now when Jacob is told that Esau is coming and he has 400 men with him, understandably, it says Esau was greatly afraid and distressed in chapter 32, verse 7. Yeah. He's greatly afraid and distressed. First meeting since then. So Jacob does a couple of things here in chapter 32. One of the things he does is he prays. And his prayer is recorded, like in verse 11. He says, "Please rescue me from my brother Esau, for I'm afraid of him." So he prays. That's a good thing. But still, he starts making plans to secure an advantage over Esau and to save himself. And so he does several things. He divides everything. He divides all the people with him and all the animals. And he divides them all into two groups. And he says, if Esau attacks one, then I still have, you know, the other half. He sends lots of gifts to Esau. He sends 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 sheep, camels, cows, donkeys. He sends all these gifts to Esau, and he says in verse 20, "Perhaps he'll forgive me." So Jacob, always the schemer, has always been the schemer, he's trying here to manipulate the situation to his advantage. That's what it looks like. And that sets the context for the main event that happens later on in chapter 32.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting a sense of his time frame and your brief little history of kind of where we find Jacob, that might be something that group leaders might also want to share briefly with their group, just to help them kind of recall, mm-hmm. here's the story, here's the background, because that can, it really gives some good context. What can we take from the Bible about the man that Jacob wrestled?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because initially it says, it's in verse 24, it just says, a man wrestled with him. This is called a man. Mm-hmm. Later, it's in verse 30 of chapter 32, where Jacob realized that he was wrestling with God, or that he had an encounter with God. He says there, I've seen God face to face. So he realizes that he's had an encounter with God. Now, you remember in Exodus when Moses asked to see God's glory and God said, you cannot see my face. No man can see me and live. Uh-huh. So when Jacob says, I've seen God face to face, we need to understand as more of a figure of speech, not that he literally saw God's face, but he's saying he had an encounter with God. So who is this person that he's wrestling with? I've heard like three different explanations of this. It was God in the form of a man. I've heard some say it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ himself. And many others say this was an angel. This was an angel of the Lord. And no doubt, angels have had a role in the story of Jacob up to this point, which would be something in favor of mm-hmm. saying mm-hmm. this was an angel, because angels have been involved in his story. He said, even in this chapter 32, the first couple of verses of this chapter, it says God's angels met him. And you remember the dream that he had of the stairway set on the ground with the top reaching to the sky, and chapter 28, mm-hmm. he saw God's angels going up and down on it. When he was with Laban, he said in chapter 31 that he had a dream where the angel of God said to him, Jacob, and he said, here am I. So this wouldn't be the first time that he's had an experience with angels. Now, mm-hmm. there's a couple of verses in Hosea that I think give some understanding, and it tells us how Jews interpreted this. Later in the time of Hosea, it's chapter 12, verses 3 and 4 of Hosea, that you might want to look at that in your class. It says there, Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob struggled with the angel. So that's what Hosea says about this encounter we're looking at here. I think that there was a physical struggle going on. Definitely there was a physical struggle going on with an angel in the form of a man. That was a physical struggle, but there was the real battle was spiritual. I think Jacob was struggling with God here. The physical battle, I think, was with an angel of the Lord, but I think spiritually he is struggling with God. And that's what this passage is about. And the struggle was to determine whether Jacob would continue relying on himself like he always has, or was he ready to let God take control of his life? I think that's what the struggle was here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just an unusual passage to read, or maybe I should say not an unusual passage, but it's an unusual event to read. We're reading through Genesis and we get to this, mm-hmm. and he has this mystery person that he suddenly gets into this physical struggle with, and it's hard. It's a little bit confusing. So you're like, what just happened? So to understand that it is also a spiritual one, and that makes it a bit clearer. So I'm going to repeat. You said Hosea, was it chapter 12, verses 3 and 4?
12.
Yeah,
that's right. Hosea 12.
Because that could be. 4. For our group leaders and teachers that are listening, that might be something to take note of and maybe share in class. you've already kind of shared a good overview of the struggle, but we know that later in the passage, the man could not defeat Jacob. So how should we understand that if he is a messenger of the Lord, an angel, or in one of those?
Okay. Yeah. I was going in that direction already, wasn't I, in the previous answer. Jacob, in this passage, Jacob was 97 years old. He's an old man. And when it tells us that Jacob's opponent could not overcome him, it's not suggesting that Jacob is physically stronger than the stranger. I mean, there's no way that we can understand that to be the case. This stranger, this man, was able to inflict some physical damage on Jacob just by touching his hip. So, like I said, there's a spiritual battle taking place here. And this man, as it says, he's unable to overcome Jacob. I think that means he's unable to overcome Jacob spiritually, because Jacob was not willing to surrender himself. And it's only when the man threatens to leave that Jacob says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And so that raises another, related question to this one, is why would Jacob not let go?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's maybe for the first time, he realized that to be the man God wanted him to be, that he needed to be, he needed to stop trying to get blessed, to get a blessing in life by pretending to be someone he was not.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to stop trying to get blessed by taking advantage of other people. But stop trying just to rely on himself, because he's always been a schemer. And he realizes at this point that it was God's blessing that he needed, and he could receive God's blessing only by clinging to him. And so now here he was finally willing to submit himself to God, because Jacob has spent a lifetime trying to get an advantage over others. And it's not until this opponent strikes him in the hip and dislocates his hip that he realizes his own weakness. For the first time, he's in a position of weakness, and he realizes his inadequacies, and that's when God had him right where he wanted him.
Mm-hmm. So like a moment of surrender, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That helps clarify, because for some that are going through this reading, it might be like, well, how on earth could he not defeat? Because if he is from the Lord. So that is a good explanation that will help with that,
mm-hmm.
with understanding that part. We know in verse 28, the man says, your name will no longer be Jacob. It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. What is significant about Jacob's name change?
Yeah, first of all, in the previous verse, in verse 27, the man asked Jacob, what is your name? So that came first. Before he gave him a new name, he asked, what is your name? Now, he already knew Jacob's name, right? If this was an angel of the Lord or God in physical form, he knew Jacob's name. So why is he asking, what is your name? And it's not the first time Jacob has been asked that question. His father mm-hmm. asked him, who are you, my son? When Jacob was
yes.
pretending to be Esau.
Mm-hmm.
And his father asked him, who are you? And he said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Told a lie, right? All of his life, he's been deceiving people, taking advantage of people. So God's not asking, what is your name, to get information. He knew Jacob's name, and he also knew the kind of man Jacob was. So when he's asking Jacob, what is your name? It's really a way, I think, of asking, are you going to continue to live up to your name? Because your name mm-hmm. means deceiver. And that's what you are. That's what you've always been. Are you going to continue to live up to your name? Are you going to continue using other people to get what you want? Continue to rely on yourself? Or are you ready to admit what you are and let me change you? And he asked his name, because before Jacob could fully experience the blessings of God on his life, he had to face himself and admit the kind of person he was.
Hmm.
So, what is your name? And Jacob replied, I'm Jacob, which means the deceiver. And that was a confession of his guilt. What he's saying here is, yeah, I am a fraud. I am a deceiver. And I am rightly named Jacob, because that's who I am, a deceiver. But way back years before, Esau said, no wonder his name is Jacob. He's cheated me twice, back in chapter 27. So that was the meaning of his name. So what did this stranger do after he asked Jacob his name? He changed his name. He said, your name will no longer be Jacob. It'll be Israel, because you've struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And we know that in the Bible, receiving a new name signifies a new beginning. You think about people who got new names, Abraham and Sarah and Peter. So he says, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will no longer be deceiver, but Israel. Now, the name Israel can mean one who struggles with God. So Jacob's life has been characterized as a struggle with men. I mean, he has spent his life struggling with men. He wrestled with his brother, and with his father, and with his father, and with Laban. I mean, all of his life. And here he struggles with God, and it says he prevailed. And I think he prevailed in this struggle with God, not because God surrendered to him, but because Jacob finally conceded. Finally.
Yeah.
The only way to win in a struggle with God is to confess who you are and surrender to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening in this passage.
It's really an encouraging passage. Once we talk through all of that and understand kind of some of that context that helps give a better explanation of some things, it helps us to see what an encouraging passage this is, and one that's super applicable to our lives. That might be a little surprising to some group members if they have not really studied this. So that leads us in this week in the resources. Each week we feature a key doctrine, and this week the key doctrine is salvation, which, as Mike has kind of explained, this is a turning point, a huge turning point, a point of self-surrender and confession to the Lord. And so that is a really clear picture of what happens when we repent and turn from our sin and turn to the Lord. So this is a great opportunity to talk a little bit about salvation. There's a little short paragraph about that in the resources, so that might be a good thing to point out as group leaders this week in your discussion. It also has two more passages that you could spend some time in, John 3:3 and then 2 Corinthians 5:17, just to give a more complete picture and a better point of discussion as you talk about this. Before we go, let me remind you about Extra. Each week we identify a current news event and describe a way of using that news story to introduce or conclude the group time. These teaching ideas are free, and you can find them on the Explore the Bible website by typing in the following: goexplorethebible.com/leader-extras. Mike, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Of course. Next week, we will have Mike here with us again to discuss Genesis 35, verses 1 through 15, and we hope you'll join us.